I just have to share this with you. This morning, one of our parents came up and said, one of the children asked Mom, so do we go to children's church or do we stay in with the big show? So I just thought that was, this is not the big show, but it's interesting. From the mouth of babes comes some interesting statements. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In light of our honoring our graduates today, I did want to pick a particular subject, kind of get out of Proverbs for a couple weeks and talk about an important matter that are facing not only our graduates, but also all of us in the local church. And that's the matter of using our spiritual gifts. It's very easy to leave it up to someone else to do the work and to do the ministry and to kind of pass the buck in a sense and not be involved ourselves. And so today the challenge, though you've heard this before, it is intentional. So you might say, well, Pastor, I thought you preached that a couple years ago. Well, I did. And so every once in a while, I want to bring this out to remind us all of our involvement. Let's bow in prayer first before we begin. Father, thank you for this opportunity that brings us together. We thank you for the joy of being able to see one another here, see other believers, and rub shoulders with each other, encourage each other. And I pray that today, as a result of our time together, we might be challenged in our faith and challenged in our involvement for Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. If any of you, especially, now again, I'm talking to the men right now, if any of you even can pick up a golf club, I encourage you to go next year to the golf retreat. Maybe you're saying, well, I can't play golf. Well, you fit right in. Now, Dave has some fantastic drives. Jim Dahl did a great job. Don did a great job. I got up to the tee, and I teed it up, and I said, guys, I'm going to drive it a country mile. And I did, and I drove it a country mile. No, it just drizzled, and I walked 10 feet to pick it up. So that was quite a common occurrence with me. So if you can do that, come on and join us next year. The best time was the fellowship on the way down, the laughter we shared together, Dairy Queen after the evening service. I mean, there's just some great traditions that we've already developed, but we laughed together. We were very serious about some issues one another we were facing, and it was just a wonderful time to spend rubbing shoulders with guys. As iron sharpens iron, so we need to sharpen one another. And I praise God for these men. You really get to know people on a retreat getaway. And it's a little different when you don't have the newspaper. And you don't have a television broadcast or news or whatever. You feel like, ah, but it was wonderful. It was really wonderful. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's already been read, and so we're going to highlight several verses and phrases in this. So as we think about this matter of using our gift, you have a gift, are you using it? Especially our graduates in this particular, as it relates to making important decisions, you have, Lord willing, the rest of your lives to serve Him. You're making a lot of important decisions. All three of you have talents and gifts that you need to be using. If you were to just camp out in your parents' basement and eat bonbons all the time, not only would they want to kick you out, but it would be a waste of your talents and your gifts. And so I encourage you, find out where God would have you. Find out what not only your talents are, some of you already know the leanings toward that, but find out what your spiritual gift is. And that's my challenge today. Don't live the rest of your life with the frustration of unused and wasted gifts. Don't live with a mountain of regrets. You need to find out what God would have you do. Today, the big idea is this. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to get that out of your bulletin, help each other, keep each other awake, and fill in those blanks. If you need to share one, do that if you would. The big idea is this. You have been given a gift or gifts. Now use it. You have been given a gift. Now use it. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, you have not only talents, but you have at least one spiritual gift. You need to use it. By definition, I'd like to give this definition. It was not mine. I wish I came up with it, but Ken Pine actually came up with this definition. This is Emily Colby's dad. I went to school with him years and years ago, and I like his definition, and it goes this way. A spiritual gift is a God-given enablement for ministry in the local church, for the benefit of others, and for the glory of God. A spiritual gift is God-given enablement for ministry in the local church for the benefit of others and for the glory of God. We're going to develop that a little bit this morning. But I'd like to first of all make a few observations. As we think about this particular passage in 1 Corinthians 12, there is a context and we need to understand what's going on. Paul thinks it's very important that we understand this matter of spiritual gifts. In fact, notice in verse 1 of chapter 12, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed." This is of utmost importance that you understand this. And so not only do we see it recorded in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, but we also see it in Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. They're not all as extensive as this, but very helpful in coming up with an idea of what it means, this whole matter of spiritual gifts. The fact that it's mentioned four times in Scripture reminds us how important it is, and we need to know about this particular issue. Once is enough for us to know and obey, but four times is also, it says, this is valuable, this is important for us to know. Also, the context here is that of a church called Corinth. How many of you have ever heard of the Church of Corinth? Raise your hand. All right, maybe you've never been there, which I have not either. But the Church of Corinth, was it a good church or a bad church? Bad. If you said bad or leaned toward that, you're absolutely right. In a lot of ways, it was a church that had all kinds of problems. In fact, if the Apostle Paul were to blog about this church on a weekly basis, he would have a lot to blog about in saying, this is not how you do church. This is not what you're supposed to be doing. This is not how you're supposed to be getting along. The church was really a mess. In fact, chapter 1, there were divisions it mentioned. Chapter 3, it talks about jealousy and strife. They were acting more like infants rather than mature believers. They were taking sides and saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, some said, I am of Christ. Chapter 5, they were putting up with sexual immorality in the church. In fact, it gives a specific example. A man was having sexual relationships with his father's wife, and nothing was being done about it. And they were boasting about it. Chapter 6, some were bringing lawsuits against one another. Chapter 10, many had come from pagan worship and they were tempted to go back. Chapter 11, there was division and drunkenness at the Lord's table. I can't even imagine that kind of irreverence. Chapter 12, and he now comes to this and says, you're abusing gifts, and so I want to set you straight on what the purpose is in this whole matter of spiritual gifts. Some were wanting flashy gifts, upfront gifts, gifts that could be seen by others. And the church was dividing over these things. And he says, we need to understand what this matter is all about. Spiritual gifts, and I just want to make a couple points before I go on to the third matter here. The idea that spiritual gifts are to work in harmony with each other and they're to bring harmony and not division. They're not to be used as competitive or combative in any way. And spiritual gifts are not to bring about division, but unity. In spite of the lack of their maturity in so many areas, in spite of all this that I've just mentioned, Paul addresses them in chapter 1 as saints in the Lord. These are believers. They were not acting like saints, but they were followers of Christ and therefore were saints. Very different than many times we hear about the definition used of saints in other churches. But these are believers that were not responding properly and they needed to be informed. The third observation we find is there are two Greek words that are used. that help give us insight into this matter of spiritual gifts. The first one is pneumatikos. You have it written for you in your notes. Pneuma means spirit. Pneumatikos means spiritual things or things related or pertaining to the Spirit. Spiritual gifts are related to the Holy Spirit and to the spiritual life. But spiritual gifts are different from talents. When you were born with talents and abilities that over time they show themselves working its way out. For example, some of you have a good voice or a good knack and ability for instrumental, for playing an instrument. Some of you have athletic ability. Some of you have the ability to put things together. I'm good at tearing them apart, but I can't put them back together. Not a good thing. I remember taking my brakes apart on my first car that I got before we got married, and I could not put the brakes back together. Not a good thing. It was easy to take it apart. But some of you have the brains to invent, the brains to discover, phenomenal abilities. That's what you were given at birth. And those are talents. But at salvation, when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, God gave you at least one spiritual gift given by God to be used to help build up the body of Christ. To show their interrelationship between the two, a person could be a talented singer, but use that talent to minister the gift of mercy or the gift of encouragement to others. There are some people, when they stand up front and they sing, it's just like everybody just melts, and it has a way of just moving our hearts and have a way of encouraging us. So they may they have the gift of singing, but also maybe they're using that gift to enhance their spiritual gift of encouragement or mercy. There's also the idea of a talented woodworker. Someone could be very effective in their use of their hands, and we have men around here who are very talented, and it's so wonderful to watch them at work using their skill. They can use that talent to enhance that spiritual gift of helps to encourage others. So it's wonderful to see how God uses talents and gifts to work together. The second word is that of charisma. You've heard of that term, charisma. It's not the idea of a leader standing up in front of you and just with a wow, wow. The idea of charisma is it's made up of the word charis. Charis means grace. And so it's the idea, charisma is the idea of grace gift. The word charisma emphasizes that a spiritual gift is a gift of God's grace. It's not a natural ability, but it's given by God according to His grace. Well, let's move on. Number two, some principles related to spiritual gifts. Have I filled all the blanks in so far? Are you with me? All right. All right. Principle number one. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift. I've already said it before, but I think it's important for us to understand. In verse 7 and verse 11 and verse 18, it reminds us of these things. Verse 7 says, to each, and we're in the context of believers now, to each believer is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Verse 11, notice what it says there. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one, each believer, individually as He wills. And then in verse 18, we notice that as well. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. So if you're a believer this morning, you have a spiritual gift. If you are a believer here this morning, God didn't miss you. He didn't run out when He came to you, though you may feel like that at times. But God has given you a spiritual gift. God didn't say, sorry, oops, I ran out, or I missed you. Another important principle under this point, number one, we're still under that subpoint one under principles, you don't have all the gifts. There's no one here that has all the gifts. What would that mean if you had all the gifts? You wouldn't need anybody else. So that cannot be the case. No one here has all the gifts. And the reason why God has done that, I believe, is so that we need each other. In order to, you need your brother and your sister, and they need you. Because they don't have all the gifts, and you don't as well. There is no such thing as a completely sufficient believer who can live off by himself and minister just to himself. That is unheard of in the New Testament. That is like saying that I'm going to play on a football team and I'm going to play all the positions. That is just foolishness. It is like saying I'll take on the Chicago Cubs and I'll play every position. Well, good luck on that one. All right. Well, these days maybe you'd be all right. As long as you could pitch, okay. All right? But you cannot go it alone. You cannot. None of us are supposed to live in isolation from each other. And I challenge you as you are graduating, the three of you, and also for our college young people, when you move from this area, and we hope you don't, but you know, we want you to survive, but just do it in this area. Right? Okay. But when you do move from this area, look for a local church where you can use your spiritual gift, because you need the local church and they need you as a participant together with them. When you are not involved with other people and getting involved in their lives, you are going to lose out. If you're not involved, you will lose out and they will lose out. All of the commands in Scripture, and I've said this over and over again, serve one another, love one another, care for one another, they cannot be done when you're by yourself. It must be in the context of the one another's. We draw strength from each other. Still under point number one, that subpoint there, not everyone has the same gift. That would be rather boring too, wouldn't it? If you all had the same gift, there would end up being competition. No gift is possessed by all believers. There's a variety of gifts. God has chosen it to be that way in the body of Christ so that we would complement and encourage and build one another up. So, every believer has at least one spiritual gift. Number two, spiritual gifts are given by God. As I already read those verses, they have been given by God through the Holy Spirit to you. Just as He determines, just as He arranged them, just as He has distributed them. So, that means that we should not be seeking or campaigning or asking for someone else's gift. It's not going to happen. God has already arranged it in His own way. We are to accept the ones that God has given to us with thankfulness and joy and use it. They've been graciously given to us by God. Do you know what that means when we understand and get a hold of the fact that God has given it to you? There is absolutely no reason for pride, saying, look at me. Look at what I am accomplishing. Look what I am doing. No, God has a way of humbling us, and He'll take care of that. But it's been given to us, and we need to humbly use it for His glory. Every one of us is a recipient of at least one spiritual gift, if we are a follower of Christ today. And then the next point underneath that, you are to use it. Don't sit on it. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Just keep your hand here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or dial it up, set it aside, save it, link, whatever you have to do with your particular Bible. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. Deals with this matter of spiritual gifts again, and it says this: each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Over and over again, you will hear and have heard already, use it. Don't sit on it. It was given for a purpose. Use your spiritual gift. God has made an investment in you. And He wants you and expects you to give a return on that investment. If you don't use it, the talents, the gifts that you've been given, you are cheating other people and you are not bringing glory to God. You may be tempted to say, well, I'm not talented like so-and-so. I can't sing. I can't help. I can't do the things like they can. That doesn't matter. You use the gift God has given you. Faithfulness does not depend on what I don't have or can't do. Faithfulness depends on what I do with what I have. Faithfulness depends on what I do with what I have. Actually, what God has given to me. So are you using the gift God has given to you? The why. Why should I do that? Because you tell me, Pastor? No, because God tells us, and also because we're going to give account of it one day. Because we will give account of how we use our gift. There will never be a time when, well, I shouldn't say this. There, 99.9% of the time, you will not come before the pastor or before the deacons, even one-on-one, and we'll say, okay, I want you to sit down and I want you to tell me, what are you doing with your gift? Now, if you want us to, we can talk about it. But we're not going to call you into the office and say, what are you doing? Give an accounting of your gift. No, that's not going to happen. We're not to be policing. But you will stand before God one day. I will stand before God. And He will say something, I don't know what it's going to appear like, but we're going to give an accounting at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Christ, and He will call into account and say, what did you do with the gift that I gave you? We're to be stewards of what He's given to us. A steward is one who has been given a responsibility, a trust, and he takes care of something and does it. Our material possessions, our children, our abilities, our spiritual gifts, we're all going to be stand before God and give an accounting of that. And you know what that means? That means that I shouldn't worry so much about what you do or are doing or not doing. I should worry about what I'm doing. What am I doing for the cause of Christ? How am I using my gift? Number three, the purpose of gifts. The purpose of the gifts is for the common good of the church, for the building up of the church. The purpose of spiritual gifts is for the enrichment, for the maturity of the body of believers. Verse 7, back in 1 Corinthians 12, says this, that the gifts are given for the common good. There should be, in verse 25, there should be no division in the body, for that its parts should have equal concern for one another. Let me just bring out a couple minor points under this matter. Gifts are not primarily for personal enrichment. You know what I mean? The gift was not given so that you could just, have all the joy in the world. Joy is a byproduct of using our gift. But that's not the main purpose. It's for the enrichment of the body. Yes, it brings joy when we use our gift, but primarily our gift is for the benefit of someone else. My gift and yours was never given so that we could feel a rush. Our gifts were given for us to contribute something to the body of Christ. In fact, Paul rebukes the people of Corinth for clamoring after the gift of tongues. They all wanted the showy gift, but he was rebuking them for that. Spiritual gifts are not given as badges of privilege or prestige, but as tools for ministry. I like what John MacArthur has said in his commentary on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says this, "It is critical to understand that spiritual gifts are not given for self-edification, self-building up. A teacher who studies the Word and then writes lessons that only he reads or records message that only he hears is prostituting his gift. He continues, a Christian with the gift of helps must by definition be involved in serving others, just as service by definition involves helping others. In the broad sense, therefore, every gift is a helps gift because every gift is a service gift for the benefit of others. Again, one couple more sentences he writes. A gift exercised in private is a perverted gift. God gives His gifts to us for others. We are personally blessed when we use these gifts in the Spirit's power to serve others in His name. But that blessing is a byproduct, not the purpose. So again, it's for the purpose of lifting up, building up others. Another thing is, you notice in your notes, a key indicator of the effectiveness of a gift is how it impacts others. How it impacts others. If you think you have a gift in a certain area, ask yourself some of these questions. Are people encouraged in their faith because of my exercise of this gift? Are people being drawn closer to Jesus Christ because of my gift? Is ministry being made possible because of the exercise of my gift? Are people's needs being met because of the use of my gift? And lastly, are lives being changed because of my contribution to kingdom work? A true spiritual gift opens doors, changes lives, and builds up the body of Christ. And then just a last point, I think, underneath there, gifts should lead to unity, not division. We've said that already before. Number four, so we move on very quickly. We're wrapping it up. Number four, the ultimate goal in using our gifts is to, can you guess? All right. Glorify God. The ultimate goal of my using of my gift is to glorify God, not self. Again, 1 Peter in chapter 4, if you're still there, then open it up or whatever. It says this in verse 11, if anyone speaks, he should do so as speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Romans 12, verse 3 says, we're warned in this verse not to get too high and heady in ourselves because God is the giver of gifts. We are not to try to impress with our ability. We're not to try to imply that God owes us this for our faithfulness. We are not to use them for selfish reasons. We're to use our gifts for the glory of God. Well, let's bring it right down for a landing where we're at today. Personal application. There's obviously already a lot of application in that, but let's bring it down to three things. Number one, you will not find your spiritual gift until you're saved. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't go looking for your spiritual gift. The thing that you need to do this morning is to acknowledge your sinfulness and go to God and recognize He is the only one that we can be forgiven, that who will forgive us as we go to Him to put our trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Not just knowing facts about Jesus, but knowing Him as our personal Savior. So don't go looking for what it is until you know Christ as your Savior. That's the first step, a very important first step. Second, find out what your gift is and develop it. Find out what your gift is and develop it. Now, today we're not going to develop so much about what the gifts are. We'll maybe even deal with that next week some. But I'm going to just mention a couple of the gifts that I believe are still available for today. The gift of helps, the gift of encouragement, the gift of administration. There are some people that they just, wherever they are, they just like to organize things. And whether it's the soup cans in the cupboard or things in the office, they just, when they see disorder, they help pull along and like to get things orderly. I'm glad my wife is organized. Because I am not. Okay, you know that it's I'm not the most organized person, but I'm thankful that I've got a wife who helps keep me organized. And it's nice that we can complement one another through the through our giftedness and talents and abilities. But shepherding, mercy, giving, teaching. Maybe you don't know what your gift is. Do you know the way to find it out? Start serving. Find something that is of interest to you in the local church and just start serving. And people are the most helpful ones to give you input as to what your spiritual gift is. In the first internship, I've told you about this before, it was in Grand Rapids, Michigan at Calvary Baptist Church. It was a large church, about 1,500 people. I was one of a number of interns in the church. And so as I began serving in all different kinds of areas, some of the areas I just felt like I was stuck in the mud. And I didn't really enjoy, but I knew it was helpful for the cause of Christ and I wanted to help for the benefit of others. But I found some ministries and some things very difficult. If you're to ask me to go in and organize a twos and threes ministry, I don't want to do that. I don't like that. Not that I don't like twos and threes. I love twos and threes. But organizing that stuff, I don't want to write out things. Even the child protection policy, when we came up with that for the church, I'm glad Jonathan was on staff. And I said, Jonathan, buddy, pal, you are good at writing. Go ahead. And I gave him lots of encouragement. I said, here's a book, here's a magazine. And he just, and he came out with a policy. Now again, that just really is not my forte. Ask me to go to a hospital, ask me to go on an emergency call, ask me to help somebody who is in trouble. Man, I'm all about it. I love it. I love going to the hospital. I love not to get, operated on. But I'm saying I like to go and help others. I thrive on that. But, we need to kind of figure out what it is. And the input of some of these other fellow pastors was helpful as we sat around and they said, I think your gift is this. I think your gift is that. It was very helpful for being able to discover what my spiritual gift is. And I encourage you, if you want to find it out, come to me, to one of the youth leaders, to the deacons, to a Sunday school teacher, a life group, and just start asking them, what can I do to serve? And I think my gift is this, but I'm not sure. How can I help out? And I want to see what it is. And it's wonderful. It's freeing. And it's amazing to see how God uses that. So find it out and use it. And third, use enthusiastically. I've put down this word. Enthusiastically use your spiritual gift at New Life Baptist Church. That you might say that this Sunday is a recruitment Sunday. You want to know the best way to go from here and put this into an application, the sermon for today? Find a place to serve. Some of you may find that you just love cleaning the building or fixing the building or, you just love to serve in the nursery. You just can't wait to serve in the nursery. Whatever it is, find your place and start serving. It is wonderful. And you know what? We have some unbelievable opportunities for you. Some of you are very gifted in cooking. Some of you are very gifted in teaching. We've got the picnic next week. There are ways that you can serve. Some of you are great with the gift of helps. Let me help in any way I can. I'll serve. Now again, there are some of us that may not have the particular gift, say, of helps, but you can still help out. That doesn't mean I don't need to help out, set up, because that's not my gift. No. No, it doesn't excuse you. We all can serve within the local church, but find a niche, find your place. And if it's teaching in Vacation Bible School, running games with the kids, setting up for the corn boil, helping out with that, fun fair, getting kids excited, organizing something, you talk to me. Because we have all kinds of opportunities between the picnic next week, helping us out there, between Vacation Bible School and ministering to our children, the corn boil, and on it goes. We have opportunities. And so find your niche. And I guarantee you that the body of Christ will be built up here at New Life and God will be glorified. One last thought. One of the greatest joys of using your spiritual gift is that you will enjoy using it and you'll see results for the glory of God. I love seeing how God uses people to advance the cause of Christ. It is wonderful to see the body of Christ turned loose, using their abilities and flourishing, and it encourages everyone. May God help us here to all be involved, not just a few, not just 5 or 10 and let everybody else do it. Find your niche and serve. Let it go and see what God might do to see this church grow stronger maturity-wise and grow numerically, if that's His will, for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be part of the body of Christ. We are people of God. We need to live like it, enthusiastically, not saying ho-hum or do I really have to? But Father, that we would wholeheartedly serve, recognizing we're a part of something bigger than ourselves, and we have the opportunity of bringing glory to Jesus Christ, glory to our great God, through our acts of service and through using our spiritual gifts. Thank you, Father, for the privilege, for entrusting sinners with such a high and lofty calling of serving in a local church. And so, Father, I pray that you might get a hold of our hearts, first of all, and then may we just allow you to turn us loose and to see you do great and mighty things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.